So in my preparation for this week, I came across this reflection on fear and how fear is often associated to how we relate to yesterday and tomorrow. And sometimes when we're caught in this place of fear, we look like this. So let me read to you this reflection. There are 2 days in the week upon which and about which I never worry. 2 carefree days kept sacredly free from fear and apprehension. One of these days is yesterday. Yesterday, with its cares, with its frets, with its pains, with its aches, all its faults, all its mistakes and blunders has passed forever beyond my recall. It was mine, but now it's God's. The other day I worry about, or I'm trying not to worry about, is tomorrow. Tomorrow, with all of its possible adversities, its burdens, its perils, its large promises and performance, its failures and mistakes, it's far beyond my mastery. It's as dead as that sister yesterday. Tomorrow is God's day. It will be mine. Then there is left for me but one day. Today. Today. It is only when we will fully add the burdens of those two awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, such burdens as only the mighty can sustain, that we break down. So look at these two pictures. This one, when we're burdened by yesterday, apprehensive about tomorrow. Or this one. This is actually sunrise over Mount Rainier in Washington State. Isn't that beautiful? I want to learn to live more with this before me so that I can take my hands out of my eyes and live fully in this present moment. But you know as well as I do, it's much easier at times to live here than here. And so we want to think about this today. How do we learn to live in such a way that we're learning to leave yesterday with God's grace and trusting tomorrow to his providence? And this is where our theme for today, I hope, will be handy. For you see, this is what we need to remember. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Does this resonate with you? It does with me. And so I, in my life, want to learn how to live my life. So I'm learning to live in the present, not regretfully remembering yesterday or fearfully looking to tomorrow. And that's where we need Jesus' rim. Think about rims. They're really important in life. No rim, no tire. None of you would get here today unless you walked. No rim, no drum. No rim, no swoosh. This is really important for me. No rim, no tennis racket. I love playing tennis. Now, I know some of you here today, you prefer this game. I don't know why, but you do. And so no rim, no paddle rackets either. Rims really matter. But here's the rim that really matters, and it's this rim that will allow us to grow in not being fretful about tomorrow and regretful about yesterday, but learning to live trustingly in the present. This is Jesus' rim. It's about relationship, identity, and mission. Relationship, identity, and mission. And our readings today touch on all three of these very, very important dimensions of what it is to be human. So let's think for a few minutes about relationship. Relationships, as we all know, are profoundly challenging. Most of the difficulties we experience in life, when we think about our past or anticipate the future, are often influenced and colored by relationships that had been painful, where we experienced heartache, and we then have that impact and imprint itself upon our souls. But listen to these words of Jesus about relationships. Man, this is one of the hardest Bible passages I've preached on in a long time. But listen to what Jesus says, and there must be something here that is meant for us in our relationships. So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, I tell you in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. You see, I think what Jesus is wanting to invite us to is to bring all that dark stuff to him in the quiet of our heart, the quiet of our soul, to allow him to become the one who is more fully defining how we are living our lives. But this can be so difficult for us because our human relationships, particularly the ones that have been most painful, have a way of defining the core identity that we have. In this past week, I have been very much appreciative of these two men. Their names are Jake Kim and Bob Schutz. And at the beginning of COVID, they started a podcast called Restore the Glory. Podcast number 12 was a series of 5 podcasts on the anatomy of a wound. And what they do in these podcasts is help us to understand how is it that relationships that we have with people have so affected us, that they've so wounded us, that it makes it hard for us to truly trust in Jesus. Some of you perhaps were at St. Luke's last month, where Jake was there with his wife Heather, and they were doing a conference called Restoring the Feminine Heart. Do you hear? Restoring the Feminine Heart. Here, their podcast is Restoring the Glory, or Restore the Glory. That is, a true sense of our identity, of who we truly are. And as we, through the grace of God, are able to grow in living in this relationship with Jesus, he can and does desire to heal those deepest wounds, those places where we have relationship confusion. So that out of the place of knowing who he is, that can affect and influence how we look at every other relationship. Now here Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Are you kidding me? I mean, think about this. I mean, there's nothing that I am more fearful of being martyred for my faith. Not that I think it's going to happen, but do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, don't fear those who can kill your body, but they can't do anything to your soul. What in the world can he mean by this? It has to do with relationship and identity. He's saying, don't allow the exterior world, however aggressive it might be towards you, to be primarily defining your identity. Allow your Father in heaven to be the one who is forming that for you. And so listen to what he goes on to say as he now talks about identity. This is the part of today's gospel that's easy. In the sense of, oh yeah, this is warm and fuzzy. It feels good. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do you see what Jesus is teaching us here? He's teaching us about identity. But here's the problem. This is the identity crisis. At times, we don't believe that we're more important than sparrows. And it wouldn't be hard for Jesus to count the hairs on my head, but for some of you, not so easy. But the point is, he's using these simple images to speak deep to our heart, where he says, I know you don't believe this a lot of the time. I know you don't really think that you are of greater worth than the sparrows, or I care about the number of the strands of hair that you have. But I do. But here's one of the things that Bob and Jake taught me this last week. I'd never heard this before. We all have this tendency to tell what are called identity lies. Because of things we've experienced primarily earlier in life, where we've been told lies, but they have been told and lived out in such a way that we came to believe that they were the truth. This has a way of profoundly impacting how we see our identity. And they use this example. A child who accidentally spills their milk. But then mom or dad respond disproportionately to the accident. You are always so clumsy. Why do you do that kind of thing? Be more careful. And if that kind of lie is then reiterated by actions that reinforce it, what does it do to a child? They become to believe, I am just clumsy. I should be more careful. Now think about how this happens to a culture. Think about how this happened to the first peoples of our land, where in the context of residential schools, they were often told lies about their true identity. It impacts them. It impacts us. It has societal ramifications that take generations to heal. And it's also true in our personal lives. Without going into detail, I had a pretty traumatic adolescence, and I had a lot of identity lies spoken into my heart. I'm 62, and I'm still working through some of these messages that I had so deeply believed to be the truth, but are the lie. And this is part of the struggle that we all face. Everyone can look at this picture, I imagine, here this morning and say, oh yeah, I remember. I remember. Now, in some cases, praise be to God, mom or dad might have been having a bad day. And it wasn't reinforced, so you didn't actually come to believe what this spilt milk represents. But we need to see and understand that this is one of the primary messages and motives that the devil uses. He wants us to believe the lie. Genesis chapter 3. Oh, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Take it, you'll like it. And what does that lie lead to? It leads to a profound and deep wound. Or listen to these identity lies from our first reading from Jeremiah. I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him, let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. One identity lie after another, after another, after another. But listen to Jeremiah's response. The Lord is with me. He is like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. Do you see the perspective that he has? He's able to orientate himself not by the false voice, but by the true voice. And this brings us to the third point, our mission. Now, here's the hardest part of today's gospel. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny. What in the world can that mean? Does that mean Jesus will be taking a tally of those times when I was with people in public and I just didn't speak of Jesus and he's going to tally it up and say, Jonathan, I'm sorry. A column of denial exceeds that of the times when you spoke for me. I'm not going to acknowledge you. I do not think so. I think it has to do with the whole of our life. It has to do with how we see and we envision and we orientate who we are. Because here's the thing I'm learning in all my life. Although I might not be responsible for some of the people who spoke those lies into my soul, I am responsible by the grace of God to help them be healed, so that I don't allow the lie to define me. And I think partly what Jesus is saying here is that tragically, life can be lived in such a way that we become more and more embittered, we become more and more cruel in how we're living. And that's why Jesus says, don't fear him or her who can kill the soul, kill the body, but not the soul, but fear him who can both kill the soul and the body in hell. Who is that? It is not God. It is the devil, because he wants our destruction. God wants our salvation. And so I conclude with this image of the Last Judgment that's at the front of the Sistine Chapel. And what I think this painting is trying to embody is Jesus wants to sort everything out so that in the fullness of his eternity, every identity lie, everything that does not define what it is to be human will be in hell because it's hellish. But what God in Christ wants for us is that we will truly know and understand our mission. And let me show you this beautiful quote. This is from Gaudium et Spes, which is one of the key documents of Vatican II. This is paragraph 22. This speaks of our true mission. Christ, the final Adam. Let me just stop there for a minute. Remember the first Adam listened to the identity lie and was wounded? The last Adam was wounded on the cross so that we could hear the truth about our identity. And what is the truth of our identity? Gaudium et Spes goes on to tell us. Christ, the final Adam, by the revelation of the mystery of the Father and his love, fully reveals us to ourselves and makes our supreme calling clear. Wow. Jesus reveals us to ourselves. Why does he want to do that? Because he wants us to learn to live not regretfully about tomorrow, or fearfully about tomorrow, or regretfully about yesterday, but to learn to live in the present, growing in our relationship, our identity, and mission, so that we can focus on the rim.